Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The notification of the Open Meetings Act is on the backboard, on the door. Copy of the prior attorney's agenda for tonight's meeting. I'd like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting with respect to each agenda item. The directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call, please.
Bradley?
Here.
Fred Conley?
Here.
John Conley?
Here.
Fowler?
Here.
Brenwald?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Lou?
Here.
Randy?
Here.
Caesar?
Here.
Weiss? And Sherpa.
Here. I have a excused absence for John Weiss. Item 4, adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Brenwald?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Sherpa.
Yes. Item 5, adoption of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
John Conley?
And Bradley? Should be.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Brenwell?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Yes, and I have here proof of location for the record of the meeting that we are here tonight. Item 8, agency reports, presentations, natural resource conservation report. Neil Jensen, welcome.
Good evening.
And he's going to give us good news about a farm bill, aren't you?
Well, kind of.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to steal you. Did I steal you?
No.
Yeah, you did. Oh, there it is.
We'll be safe. Well, start with, it's been announced that we now have a new chief for the NRCS, Matt Lohr. He's from Virginia. Some of what I read on him, he's a fifth-generation farmer, and he has a lot of legislative experience, too, in Virginia. So, and I believe that the NACD was pleased with this selection, so... Hopefully we've got a good guy in here, and it sounds like he will be. Next, Farm Bill. The Congress has passed our Farm Bill, but we still need the President to sign, and if you can believe what you see on the Internet, sounds like he should pass it next week. Didn't seem to be any conflict there, so... Don't know a whole lot because, yeah, they just passed it here within the last day or two. But one of the things I do know from what they passed, our two prominent conservation programs, our EQIP and Conservation Stewardship Program, will stay as they were in the past. So they were, one of the House was discussing about combining those into one program, but they're going to stay separate. So. And like I said, those are our two prominent programs. Last thing I've got is just kind of what we've been doing here in the last month or two. Of course, fall is our biggest time for getting conservation work done, getting terraces and stuff. So we've been making a lot of payments this fall. Tomorrow is our deadline if we can to guarantee that they'll get paid before the this, you know, calendar year, but so busy doing that. Wish we'd have had a longer fall. It was so wet that crops were out pretty late and then snowed so early. So probably didn't get as much work done as we wish we could have. November 16th was our deadline for applications for new EQIP applications. We got over 70 applications this year. Our deadline to have them all ranked is February 1st, but we've even got some of the state ones that are going ahead. The deadline for high tunnels and nutrient management plans is tomorrow, so we should be start writing contracts here in the next week or two and hopefully get ahead of the game. Last year, if you remember, we had approved obligated funds to about 50-some contracts, so we're looking good by having 70 applications. You know, we should have more than enough applications for what funds that we do have available. It's always good to make sure that you get all your dollars spent. The last thing that we're working on, we still get a lot of highly erodible and wetland requests from producers, taking trees out, putting drain tile in and stuff like that. But just to give you an idea how much of a workload that is, we've had 80 requests since October 1st. And, you know, we'll normally get about 800-900 requests in a year. So it's something that keeps us busy. Any questions?
Oh, Director Jett.
And your employments or numbers are where they should be now? I noticed you had an ad for an NRCS employee.
For our staffing?
Yeah, staffing.
We're still down a couple of resource cons. It sounds like with this farm bill that, you know, the funds that will get available, that it sounds like we should be able to continue to hire into this next fiscal year. Right now they're talking maybe January, February. We do have one announcement out for a position in Blair to work on wetlands and HEL determinations. I'll probably talk more about this, but they're kind of reorganizing that person will actually be supervised by our state office. And hopefully by they're hiring several of these positions across eastern Nebraska. Hopefully that'll loosen us up to work with producers,
okay,
you know, with the other programs. So
thank you.
Kind of glad to see that happen. But so far, I haven't heard whether anybody applied. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Neil.
Item B, Nebraska Associated Research District's Rich Teaser.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The NARD did meet at Holdridge, Nebraska, November 11th and 12th. And frankly, I sit on the legislative committee, and since the NARD didn't have any legislation introduced this year or planning on it, there wasn't a lot for us to talk about. And I can tell you, Holdridge does not have a lot of pheasants to shoot or quail or ducks and geese, because that's kind of how I spent my day prior to the meeting. Really not anything that earth-shattering happened to me. It was rather routine. In your packet, however, you do have a memorandum from Gene on the NARD Legislative Conference, which will be held January 29th and 30th in Lincoln. I would urge you to take a look at this and plan on attending if you can. Our legislative conferences there's some very good sessions. In the second page you'll see, and I would highly recommend that you consider going. And generally we have a dinner on the Monday evening, so I would again urge you to consider it. And that basically is my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Rick. Item C, Natural Resources Commission report. We'll be meeting next Tuesday, the 18th, in Kearney, the full commission. The agenda's out, and I want to report that for projects under $250,000, there are six of them that will be presented for approval for a total of $1,132,670. On the over $250,000, there's three that will be presented for approval. for a total of $5,639,027. I'm happy to report that our project, WP1.
We already got money for that one.
I'm looking at just the numbers here. But anyways, that project is amongst the three that hopefully will get approved. We'll know Tuesday, and I'll report next month that we'll get notified. But I'm very confident that there shouldn't be any issues with that. We rank high enough in the scoring that there shouldn't be any problems. D, Association Conservation District. That should be Tim Fowler. You want to say anything about that, Tim?
About the upcoming conferences coming up in February 2nd through the 6th in San Antonio. I'll be attending that and also part of the Urban Grant program with the five states I run. And I'll give you a full update when I get back from that.
All right. Thank you. Item 9, Washington County Rural Water System Backflow Prevention Program, Zach Nelson. Where's that? Mick and Beth Gosling?
You want to come up here? Yeah, I'll give kind of a brief background situation. Can you speak?
Good evening. This evening I'm in front of you to discuss the district's backflow prevention program, as well as had individual customers on our rural water system in which we've had to enforce that program, and they would like a chance to speak to you about it. So a little bit of background on cross-contamination and backflow prevention. It's probably the biggest threat to our water system aside from like a terrorist activity. How backflow happens is the water system's pressurized. Everything's connected. It's like a network of straws. When you have a facility attached to that water main, there's the potential for when that water main, if it ever loses pressure, to suck a liquid out of a house. In theory, this can happen if you have a hose into a bathtub, into a pool, what have you. It can siphon it out similar to a straw. This has happened before in the state of Nebraska. There's been numerous times where in a small town, they've lost water pressure. It's actually sucked water out of toilets, and you get blue water in water. Obviously, that becomes a major health risk. One of the biggest things that we test for is coliform and E. coli. A lot of times, that's found from animal waste, digestive matter, things like that. So anything regarding feedlots, agricultural, industrial areas, that's a big threat to us. What we are implored to do is, you know, we follow the state health department's rules and regulations, AWWA's recommendations, and the EPA's regulations. So we have to go out, we send out a survey, the requirements every 5 years, essentially asking, you know, if people have a cross connection to an existing well, other types of hazardous areas, and then if we see a red flag, we're required to inspect. So my staff, you know, we'll go and we'll inspect properties, and if we think there's a backflow contamination risk, we'll require the homeowner to install some type of backflow prevention device. It would have been roughly earlier this summer. My staff was out near the Gosling residence on 2797 Herbert Henry Lane and noticed a number of just animal carcasses. It appeared that there was a slaughtering operation going on. Like I discussed, between blood and intestine entrails, that's a big risk for backflow contamination. At that time, we had told the residents, you know, that's a risk. You need to install an RPZ. It's essentially like kind of like a double check valve. That did not happen. A couple months later, my staff then shut the water service off. Told the residents that we needed that device installed by a licensed plumber, that it needs to be tested. Otherwise, we're not going to turn the water back on. So after that communication had been made, we even met with our state health department representative, Tim Thayers. We met with the Goslins at our Blair office, kind of went over the rationale why we're doing that. This is this is a state and EPA requirement that the district's requiring, you know, that we have to follow. So this isn't just something made up. So since then, the Goslins then have asked to come before this board to, I guess, essentially just discuss why they had to do that and if there's any leniency, which might there's not. It's just something we have to do.
All right. Please identify yourself and the address, too.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Mick Goslin. This is my wife, Beth Goslin.
Your address, please.
Address 2797 Herbert Henry Lane.
Okay.
I agree with everything he's saying. Backflow is a bad problem. My question to the board is, how do we decide what a commercial property is, what a commercial property is not? On April 5th, 2018, I received a letter from Zach Nelson with some general guidelines. Are you folks familiar with these guidelines?
It's our policy that we fill out those guidelines, Zach, or those health guidelines?
Yeah, that's just kind of an
information. Sure. And it also lists in here several options for a homeowner. I'll concur with Zach Nelson. We are a homeowner. Okay. We have a home-run operation. We don't have a commercial slaughtering business. Doesn't happen that way. When they showed up on the Friday that we called Mr. Japp for the help, we were told, your water's being shut off right now. No call, no nothing. Three guys show up. Two guys? How many guys?
Two guys.
Two guys show up. My wife is the only one home. You're a fairly big guy. You're not worried about two guys showing up at your house. This lady is. This was a hammerhead operation. You didn't do what I said. We're shutting your water off right now. And they left. I pulled in the driveway. I said, gentlemen, what's going on here? They said, you don't have backflow preventers on. I said, sir, did you check the property? No, I didn't. Drove up and around my truck, onto the neighbor's yard, up through their flowers, and out. Folks, I've got receipts, and I'll be happy to show them to them. Because the last time we met, it was insinuated that I put them on that day or the day before or something. They're in their guidelines. I followed their guidelines.
When you say they, you're talking about backflow preventers?
Yes. In the guidelines given to me from the Papillon, Missouri Reservoir Natural Resources District. And not only did they send it to me once, they sent it to me twice. A second time on September 14th, the same piece of paper. We followed the two hose bibs, one hose bib, and two hose bibs.
Three hose bibs.
Well, I changed the one faucet.
Oh, you changed the one. I'm sorry.
The one faucet was old. It was dripping. So I changed the whole faucet out. It had a vacuum breaker on it. Cost a little more to put that in, but I went ahead and installed it. So I don't want my 250-gallon water tank to backflow into anything.
Okay.
I was told that there was a picture of a hose going down to our pond. Why would we have a hose going downhill to our pond? We don't. There's no sense in us filling up a three-quarters of an acre pond with paid-for water when we've got a well that we could pump into that water, into that pond. The picture never surfaced. So again, my question is, how do we decide who is commercial and who is not? My second question is, how do we handle heavy-handedness when two men show up and scare a lady? And I tell you what, there's not a man up there right now that would put up with the way my wife was treated that afternoon by those two gentlemen. And I think when we finally got a call into Ted Japp, she was so nervous she couldn't talk to anybody. A friend had to call Mr. Japp on her behalf. I think it was handled incorrectly, both by their own regulations, and then I was handed a large set of regulations. And again, I'll read the highlighted part that Mr. Nelson, maybe I should show it to him. Is this piece of paper you handed me, and is this the highlight you handed me?
That was one of
okay. All right. I don't know about another piece of paper. This cross manual, connection manual here. Is there any highlighted in here, sir? Okay. If you would take a minute to show me the highlighted parts in that, I'd be happy to read it. The highlighted part here says, there shall be no physical connection between the water system of the district and any holding tank or reservoir intended for non-potable liquid, sewer drain conduit, tank, pump, plumbing fixture, heat exchanger, or other mechanical equipment or device which contains or may contain contaminated water, sewage, or other waste, liquid or gas of unknown or unsafe quality, which may be capable of importing contamination or pollution to the potable water supply as a result of backflow. Okay, I'm going to read one part of that again. There shall be no physical connection. We have no physical connections at our property to any of our water tanks. And I don't know how many farmers we have here. Very suddenly, do you ever put a physical connection in your water tank? You run a hose over to it, and you fill it up. You roll the hose back. You use the hose somewhere else. There is no physical connection. And then down here, it's highlighted. And again, this is to the heavy-handedness. This is not my highlighted. This is Mr. Nelson's highlighting. Representatives of the district shall have the right during all reasonable hours to enter upon the consumer's premises for the purpose of inspection and enforcement of these provisions. Why does that need to be pressed out in highlight? We're worried about cross flow or contamination. We're not worried about how we treated an innocent woman one night at her farm. But here it shows to the culpability of these men's actions and their thoughts to a consumer who's paid the bill on time for 4 years. What more would I would ask the board, what more do you want in a consumer? Somebody who pays their bill, who's willing to follow the rules, but when the inspectors show up, they don't inspect. I've been a contractor for many, many years and a husband for a lot less time. I don't like the way my wife was treated. I don't like the way our property was uninspected, not inspected, to see if we had followed any rules. And Mr. Gosman, what are your future plans for the farm? Are you adding more automatic waters for the animals? Are you adding an outdoor sprinkler system for your lawn? We can't do that now because we were forced. We had 7 days to put in a backflow preventer at a half-inch line. You show a half-inch line that's going to fill a water tank the same time your 14-year-old daughter is taking a shower during the summer and you're watering the grass. You can't. You need 5/8 to an inch. If we were allowed to plan, and if somebody can show me that we are commercial property, we should have been allowed to plan ahead without spending $750. I have one last point. A backflow preventer, half-inch, can be purchased for $150 to $200, depending on the brand. The average cost to install that is $25 to $250. We were given a bill for $750 and had to pay it. And this is what the plumber said. There's only two of us in Washington County that do this. And he raised his price within 1 week because we were forced to put that on or shut our water off. No showers, no water for our livestock. I leave it up to you guys. Well, did you want to say something?
I was confused by the fact that we weren't given any notice of the actual shutoff date. Most of the time when any other utilities, they give you some sort of a notice, a certain date that you need to pay by or whatever the situation may be, and there was none. It was just, we're just going to show up and shut it off and not let you try to fix the problem or prepare for it. There was no actual deadline date given.
And even at that time of inspection, there was no inspection. They were there to shut the water off because they wanted a commercial
backflow. There was no backflow.
What's that?
They're there shut off because there's no backflow preventer.
No. They was there because it wasn't a commercial backflow preventer. I had done all the residential backflows that they'd asked for in their pamphlet. Right. But they arbitrarily decide who's commercial and who's not.
Can I ask staff, is there a difference on commercial versus residential? Is it the volume or the type of backflow?
Yes, there is. So kind of running like a sequence of kind of help.
Through here,
my staff, you know, was out there in the summer and notified that I was back. I personally, myself, went out there in August and said that there's a pamphlet in the whole backflow potential device. However, this is a high-risk scenario. Therefore, you have special that's fail-safe. That's two ways of money to make sure that that notification is said that it needed to be in contact with a professional licensed plumber. All that a number of months transpired that not happened. They noticed that that wasn't, that device wasn't. At that time, I shut off the water. At that time, I was called early to the water. Okay. After the weekend's over, handfuls get hurt. At that following week, I was.
Okay, so today there's a backflow preventer. So whether commercial, private, you know, that's not the point.
I'd like to address two things he said. Okay, what's the risk? We don't have the risk. Making general statements. This is how backflow preventers work, gentlemen. I can tell you all that day long. We can sit here for 3 hours and I read the pamphlets to you, till you're blue in the face. I want to know what is the risk at my farm that cost me to put a commercial backflow preventer on. Why are we going to say you and you commercial, you're residential, you're commercial? Arbitrary decisions, that's my point. We don't have, I still don't hear Zach telling me, and I've asked him, and we're seeing it here, everything he's got highlighted. There's nothing he has shown me. Mick, you have a plumbed pipe going into this spot, and it can backflow. We talk about blue water coming from toilets. Gentlemen, that can happen to any of your houses if your wife's using Tidy Bowl. I believe that's the brand. We're hearing general excuses.
Are you asking us to get with staff and find out how they approached you as a consumer? Or are you asking for restitution of any way? Or what particularly might you be...
I would like restitution. I'd like the backflow preventer to be removed, the plumbing repaired, and the box that it was cut into repaired, the loss of business that night that we didn't have because the water was shut off. We were not given any notice at all. The notice should be given out of respect for anybody. I kept all paperwork I've ever received. We didn't receive anything in August. It says September 14th right here. They visited in August, but on September 14th.
I'm going to have John Winkler, general manager.
Thank you for coming, first of all. The behavior of our staff falls on me. So I will talk to them, and I mean, I'm only hearing what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I will get with them and make sure that they are following, obviously, proper procedures and their behavior is appropriate to everyone. And that's what we stress, everyone's to be treated with respect and dignity and all those things. So I will address that. If you have a specific claim...
Let me add to that. We can't discuss that as a board, either.
Right. The person is a personal issue. And I guarantee you, I will follow up.
Okay? I trust you.
Okay. And if you have a specific claim, a financial claim against the district, the way the process works per statute is you have to submit that to us in writing.
Okay.
Then we will take that claim and we will turn it over to our either legal counsel or insurance or whoever that works. And then the process begins. So we can't negotiate with you here today and say, we'll pay this, but we won't. So if you could do that and get my card or just send it to the office of my attention,
okay,
we will start the process.
All right. I came here tonight out of respect. I've worked with Fred Conley and some other things in North Omaha. And Mr. Japp did us a favor that night. Our point coming here is to put a face with what's going on. And I find it hard to believe we're the only customers being treated this way. So if Mr. Winkler says he's going to handle it, I'm okay with it. And I appreciate what you've done for us in the past and appreciate the work you've done in our old neighborhoods. Okay. So I'm okay unless somebody's got any questions for us.
Okay, ask a question, John.
Yeah, Director John.
You alluded or stated you lost some business. What type of business do you conduct on that property?
People come there for fresh food. During the summer, it's vegetables. During the fall, there's no vegetables. They might buy a fresh duck, and they want to pluck the duck, boil some water, dip the duck in, pull the feathers off, that kind of thing.
Thank you.
And Director Bradley, you had a question?
Well, I just have a general question maybe for staff, and that I know MUD is going to come in and shut off somebody's water. They do get notice. And if you get notice if you haven't paid your bill, 30-day notice, and then that there's a heat wave, so forth. There's some rules in place to prevent them from shutting off water on people's homes. So I just was wanting to know if we don't know tonight, but if we make it clear, is there a notice given to people before they come in and shut off their water?
Zach, if you want to address that, but I mean, we will look at all the policies. I mean, we'll review everything and make sure that everybody's getting notice, if in fact that didn't.
Notice is given, but it also, like I had stated, backflow communication is something that Marty or myself put a lot of training on. In the CL department, they essentially say if you come across a scenario that poses a public health threat to the water system, you're empowered. And 100% of the time, we're going to hear on it's just not worth it. It's not worth someone else. I'd rather be in a situation like this or scrutinize the manner in which to hold it. I'd rather do this every time than to potentially have someone get sick or hurt in a situation like this.
Right. And we coordinate with the Department of Health and Human Services and those in the EPA and quite a bit. So our policies will match theirs or exceed. So.
And what I'm hearing here is he's still going to do the same thing. I'm not hearing. What did he see? If I'm a police officer and I see you speeding, I have a reason to stop and give you a ticket. What infraction? What physical evidence? Show me a picture. I'm a contractor. I understand inside, outside diameter, plumbing. We can go on and on about that stuff. I'm not seeing anything but an arbitrary decision. And let me say something else, gentlemen. There's also other things going at our farm that we're in a court system for. Rather than involve lawyers for you folks and us, I thought we could handle it here tonight. But again, the reason this started was because there was a phone call from a gentleman at Washington County offices, and he is not qualified for the phone calls that he made. I'll let the lawyers deal with that. But this, there's more to this than just, oh, we're going to err on the side of caution. There's a lot more to it. And I'm hearing it from his voice. We're still going to do the same thing. If we think your place is unsafe, we're going to shut you off right now. Gentlemen, I'm asking for a change. Mr. Bradley, thank you for asking the question you asked. What is our policy to shut somebody off? If we don't like them because they're wearing a red shirt tonight and they're not wearing a maroon coat, we shut him off? We have to have a policy that says we can and can't shut somebody off. We have to show that person, hey, this is where the contamination can happen, and you've done nothing about it. I was told where the contamination can happen, and I followed their brochures. I was not checked to see if I followed the brochures before it was shut off. That's an arbitrary decision. And the anger in these gentlemen's attitude that night, I've never seen her afraid. And I'm a tough guy to work with, and she works with me every day. She's not afraid very often. But when I came home and saw her darn near ready to cry and shaking, I knew I wasn't going to sit by. And I apologize again. I hear the same attitude tonight. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Director Grunewald, you have a question?
Yes. Notification. Is it required to be in writing or verbal? Can you
say
does
that
the notification
again?
Need to be that you originally gave in August? Is it required? Is verbal good enough, or do you need to have it in writing? What's policy there?
Again, what would be those procedures?
We'll
look at the facts. John will interview staff, and like I said, we can't take any action tonight anyway. So
I just want to bring it up to you guys so we don't So the next people don't have the same problem.
No,
we have to have some limitations on government. Thank you. She's stopping me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen and ladies.
You've been real.
I'm 10. Subcommittee reports. I may. Personnel, Legislative, Public Affairs, Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 10A. Be it resolved that the minutes of the December 11, 2018 meeting of the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations from the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 10A1, 2019 Pay Program Maintenance Program Administration Manual. Recommendation of proposed amendments to the FAPIO Missouri River NRD Pay Program Administration Manual for 2019 be adopted and incorporated into the district policy manual. I so move.
Any comments from the public on that item? Staff, any directors? Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Fernald?
No.
Jack?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Agenda item 10A2, update to the district's employee handbook. Recommendation that the proposed amended language to the Papio Missouri River NRD employee handbook be adopted and incorporated in the district's policy manual. And I so move.
Any comments from the public? Staff? Director? Roll call.
Turnbull?
Yes.
Pat?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
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 And that completes my report.
Thank you. And B, Ed Huckme, Jim Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 10B, Papio PL566 Work Plan Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Committee. Be it resolved that the minutes of December 11th, 2018 meeting of the PAPIO PL 566 Work Plan Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item 1, Professional Services Contract with Fire Engineering. Recommendation is that the General Manager be authorized to execute a Professional Services Agreement with Fire Engineering for the PAPIO PL 566 Work Plan Update in the amount not to exceed $559,822, subject to change deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. I so moved.
Any comments from the public? Directors?
One question.
Director Tapp.
When do we anticipate this phase to be completed, the fire engineering, as far as? So it would be into almost 2020.
Any other comments? Roll call.
Jack?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Greenwald?
No.
And that concludes
my report. I'm chairperson. Boy, I'm sorry.
I was going to say yes.
Thank you.
That concludes my report.
Item C, Program Project Operations Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the December 11, 2018 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations to the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, agreement with Mike and Laurie Walker for the Washington County Rural Water System, Surfside Club Water Main Extension Project. Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute the proposed agreement with Mike and Laurie Walker for the Washington County Rural Water System Surfside Water Main Extension Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approved as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
Any comments from the public? Staff? Directors? Zach, just a quick question, put this in perspective. The backflow prevention device is located somewhere on this line. So,
correct, yeah. So in the meter and pig going into the property.
Because it's a commercial. Okay.
And the big thing, too, with that is, you know, we have a couple of gas stations that are making it.
Okay, thank you. Roll call.
Cliff?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Keeser?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Craig Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Trimwell?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
Item number two is amendment number four to the professional services contract with HDR Engineering for Zirinsky Basin number two. Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute amendment number four to the professional services agreement with HDR Engineering, Inc. for the Zirinsky Basin 2 project in the amount of not to exceed $280,431, bringing the total contract not to exceed amount to $1,723,991, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approved as to form by District Legal Counsel. And I so move.
It comes from the public. Staff, directors. Roll call.
Leahy?
Yes.
Keeser?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Craig Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Brenwell?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Cliff?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
Number three is Thomas Creek Improvements Phase 1 Interlocal Agreement with the City of Omaha. The subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal cooperation agreement with the City of Omaha for Thomas Creek Improvements Phase 1, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Comments from the public? Staff? Directors?
This is phase one. How many phases might we anticipate?
So from the map that we saw the other night, this is called phase one. I think that Omaha intends additional phases. None of that has been even through preliminary design yet. They have several areas along Thomas Creek and that unnamed tributary that comes under, I think, the Irvington exit, Blair High Road. So more in the future possibly, but that depends largely on how this goes. So there are no additional project currently planned or designed. I think they had outlined kind of an idea of five or six different things they might want to do. Through the NET and the 319 application process, this was determined to be the priority because it protects the existing infrastructure. So they have conceived other things in the area. They have not asked for any funding. They do not have any plans. They do not have any timeline for any other work. So I think they have thought of there could be other work in the area, but nothing has been moved any further.
Was this deemed the most critical portion of the creek that needed to be done first?
Yep, because of the exposed sanitary lines, the threats to the gas lines. This was basically an emergency repair needed at those locations. And so the additional work on the bank stabilization and water quality improvements was incorporated at the same time.
And so once this is completed, they'll assess what needs to be done, if anything else, in the future?
Possibly. I don't think that there is a significant priority on additional work here. There are other places that are more critical throughout the watershed. And so it seems unlikely they'll revisit Thomas Creek unless there's an other location where infrastructure is threatened.
Who made that determination? Was the City of Omaha?
Yep, the city.
Initially?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yep.
Brad.
Yes, and looking at the map, so it'd be right by the Yard Market.
Yeah.
That business, and then Gladiator Park. My son played there for about 5-6 years, all those fields. But I wanted to ask you, did you see any... Oh, he's going to bring up the map.
He didn't play in the creek during the intermission or anything.
Oh, you hit a lot of balls into that creek.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And some of his pitches landed in that creek. But I wanted to ask, north of that yellow line, I remember seeing some beavers. Did you ever see any beaver while you're inspecting those creeks?
I haven't been to the site. I know that city staff, as well as the three consultants who interviewed, did inspections there, and they indicated they did walk the entire distance in waders, so they would know a little bit more about that. But I haven't been to that site.
Thank you.
Very possible.
Okay. Roll call.
Keeser.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Craig Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brenwald.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Luke.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
And then item four, amendments to district's policy manual. Subcommittee recommends the proposed amendments to district policies 17.0 through 17.44 and 18.0 through 18.50 be and are hereby approved. And furthermore, the proposed amendments to district policies 2.0 through 2.7 and 15.0 through 15.9 be tabled for consideration at the next regular meeting of the board. And I so move.
Any comments from the public on these policies? Staff, any additional comment? Thank you, Marlon, for your hard work on doing that. Any other comments from directors?
Roll call. Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Trimble?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you. FEL Committee Director Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved, the minutes of the December 11, 2018 meeting of the FEL Subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Fiscal year 2018 audit recommendation that the 2018 audit report prepared by Bergen KDV, formerly HSMC Horizon LLC, be accepted and the GM be directed to file an authenticated copy of the audit report with the Nebraska Auditor of Public Accounts and the Nebraska Natural Resources Commission, and I so move.
Thank you. Any comments from the public?
I'd like to compliment again the fine work of our staff. They have done a fantastic job again to come in with an audit like we received this time. They're very dedicated. They've come in with a clean audit. It's a nice improvement from where they started, and it can only even get better. So I just appreciate their good work. And that's all I need to say.
Also, I want to also reiterate my thanks for, of course, Carrie, there she is, and staff for the fine work they've been doing. Appreciate that.
And thanks, Gene, for your staff's work and coordinating with everybody. Yep. Worked out good.
Okay, roll call.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Trimble.
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes.
At this time, item number two, I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session. Brett? Oh, I thought we were. Okay, I'm sorry. Do we have some property owners that wish to make a comment? Would you come up, please, and take a seat and give us your name and address, please? I apologize. I thought that was the earlier group that was here.
Name and address and which particular track you're talking about.
John Iske, 15402 South 5th Street, Bellevue, Nebraska, 68123. I know we were here the other night, and my sister and my cousin were talking to you about the Dyke situation. I just want to add a few things that they didn't have any paperwork and this and that. We were talking about the previous.
John, there's a number of tracks here. Can you tell me which one? Is it the farmer's daughter?
And no, whiskey this bond? Is. Which, yeah, it's 1904. 1904.
It would be in the.
It's R18 and R19.
18-19 in the page 4 of the resolutions. Towards the bottom.
R613.
Okay.
And.
Go ahead. Proceed.
Like I say, when we first started this project back in 67, when we come across, there was at least I can find 11 grants I've had right now of easement and one holdout, which was Harry Ron at the time. And Harry and Ella Ron, they weren't going to give up nothing, so they had to buy them out.
that time, they took them to court and they bought them out. And I think it, I'll get my glasses on.
For clarification, we're talking Sarpy County, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think they got, in 67, they got, they went to court, they had $2,100, and it worked out to about $300 an acre. Well, back in 67, that was a different story. But anyway, like I said, there was, we got copies of all the easements, even OPPD, and said we gave up a lot of ground for that, and we were trying to get just something back on that because we lost quite a bit of ground. On that, we had we gave up 16.2 acres, and on one section on R18, on R19, we gave up 7.4 acres, and now they want another 7.8 acres and another 2.3 acres. And, you know, according to, again, the tax rolls here, in 2010, the county assessor assessed the land value on that tract at $132,619. In 2018, they assessed it $338,985. So in 9 years, it over doubled. And same way with the taxes. The taxes went up. You know, the taxes went from $2,056 to $5,372. So, you know, that's quite a jump in 8 years. And if it's not worth anything, you know, why does tax man think so? We don't like to pay taxes as well as anybody else. We had to, earlier this year, same way with the other piece of ground on the hill ground, it went up the same way. And we went to the assessor's meeting because they handed out a deal if you wanted to protest it, which we did. And there was quite a few people in Sarpy County that protested their land values and stuff. And now the county assessor's taken the county board to against their, you know, worried about they dropped the levy of our tax burden, and now the county assessor is going to go to Lincoln and raise it up again. But anyway, that's not a whole lot of stuff, but there's a lot of building going on. I don't think the watershed, the Papio watershed, is going to keep up with the amount of building they're doing right now. You know, just coming up 370, there's so many projects going on. And I don't see how you guys are going to keep up with it. You know, I mean, you know, we're down on the bottom end where we get all the brunt of everything. Everything comes down the pipe, and we're at the bottom. And, you know, this year I still got crops out there. You know, the gentleman was talking about crops out in the field, and I still got some out there. And especially this year, there's a lot of people that had crops out there all the way on the new 34 corridor. If you ever drove over to Glenwood, all that was underwater, clear to 29. All them fields were. That's another story too, but you know, we're getting hit from the, we had a 106 acre field right there where 34 was, split it right in half. So we're getting drainage off of their road, and it's getting to the point where that's not going to be farmable. Getting so much, and then from the hill ground too, from the construction up there, everything comes down off the hill. And I took one of the county commissioners out there last spring, showed him where, you know, how much erosion was going through there, coming down through the ditch there from the creek. And later on, he come down there. It dropped a foot in that ditch just from the erosion and stuff. And I have a bridge that goes across there to connect between the two fields. And, you know, I contacted the Corps of Engineers, and they said that's not their problem. The NRD, that's not their problem. And with the railroad, they have an easement through there. Clean the ditch out, not their problem. So nobody's problem until I want to do something about it, and then I got to have permits at the kazoo and have everybody look at it. So that's where I'm standing. You know, we talked about going around the end of the dike, doing the two fields, so I can get around there with combine. Couldn't take a truck over there. But and then they said, well, you got an excess 34, which is true, but sooner or later, like everything else, they're going to shut that down to farm implement. So I'm kind of in a bind there too. So that's just, you know, I know, you know, we had a, couldn't quite agree on the price and stuff like that. I just wanted to let you know how I feel about the situation. It was different if we wanted to sell it. We don't, so it's like, you know, if you're trying to sell a car, you're going to try to get as much as you want. But we're not in a position we didn't want to sell it. It's just that's the way it is. But, you know, that everything with taxes and everything else going up. You know, it's kind of like, they're not going to make any farmland anymore, and we're getting squeezed out shorter and shorter and shorter, and they go, well, you know, it's going to be worth this, it's going to be worth it. Yeah, but, you know, really it's not everything. You know, it's not going to be farming forever down there. And Bellevue situation, they would think that's going to be their, you know, industry area. But, you know, if they would come down and look at it when the water was high, you'd look at it too. You know, if you had a boat, you'd have to go down there with a boat to see it.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for your time.
Well, I appreciate it. Sincerely appreciate your input, especially considering the flooding that's coming down to the bottom of the funnel.
Yeah.
And as far as the 67 issues in Sarpy County, you know we're powerless on that. I hope you understand that.
Yeah.
And things have changed since 67.
Right.
The NRD comes in the picture. And I can't address the highway department at 34.
Yeah.
We're not involved in that. But
right.
I really do appreciate you coming on and giving us your thoughts.
I got three sisters and two cousins to deal with, too. So.
God bless you.
You know, so they didn't want to come tonight. And I said, well, I'm going to go out and see what's going on. You know, just
That's why we ask for public comment. And,
right. I understand.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
All right. Mr. Teaser, do you want to continue?
Mr. Sherman, I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session to discuss R613 and 616 land acquisition.
Second.
Roll call.
Greg Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Cromwell?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Teacher?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And
yes. And for the public, we have to close the doors and turn off the recorder. So,
Chairman, I make a motion we go out of the executive session.
Second?
Is there a second?
I second. Roll call. Directors, please keep in mind that anything discussed in executive session stays in executive session.
Just one thing.
Been moved and seconded. We come out of executive session. Roll call.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Reynolds?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Blakey?
Yes.
Kinzer?
Yes. Yes.
Frank Conley?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a friendly amendment, which reads as follows. I move to amend the motion to add properties Funnelers Daughter LLC and List Farms LLC, R613 Track 12, Farmer Daughters LLC, List Farms LLC, R613 Track 16, and Paddington Wilson LLC, R616 Track 9, to the acquisition items under paragraph 2, and those properties' condemnation resolutions be removed. I so move.
Second.
Moved and second. Comments from the public? Staff, directors, any further comments? And this is just on the amendment?
Just on the amendment.
Okay, roll call on the amendment.
Fowler?
Yes.
Grandma?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Lacey?
Yes.
Kinzer?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley? John Conley?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
At this time, I'm going to turn over to Brent.
Good evening, directors. Brent Meyer, law firm Hush Blackwell. I'm going to read each of the recommendations or motions for each of the property acquisitions. 20 Club Corp. R613 Track 4, recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with 20 Club Corp. a Nebraska corporation in the amount of $5,800 for an area containing 2.346 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, R616, levy improvement project subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as performed by district legal counsel.
I so move.
Comments from the public. Directors, staff and directors on item A. Roll call.
Reynolds?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Lacey?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Yes. Salvation Army R613 Track 5B, recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a permanent easement purchase agreement with Salvation Army, an Illinois nonprofit corporation, in the amount of $131,700 for an area containing 26.798 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, R616 levee improvement project, subject to the changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deformed by district legal counsel.
I so move.
Second. Any comments from the public? Staff, directors. Roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Lacey?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chris Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Grinwald?
No.
Farmer's Daughter LLC.
Yes. And, oh. I vote yes. Just saying, Thompson, Thompson.
It's consistent.
Farmer's Daughter LLC and Whiskey Farms LLC R-613 Track 12. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with Farmer's Daughter LLC, a Nebraska limited liability company, and Whiskey Farms LLC, a Nebraska limited liability company, in the amount of $60,540 in an area containing 5.044 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, R616 levee improvement project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval as deformed by district legal counsel.
I so move.
On behalf of the committee, you bet. That doesn't mean
it's just new something.
We already approved the amendment.
Yeah, I seconded the other one in there.
Yeah. Comments, public, staff, directors? Roll call.
Luke?
Yes.
Lacey?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Grinwald?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Farmer's Daughter LLC and Whiskey Farms LLC R-613 Track 16, recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a permanent easement purchase agreement with Farmer's Daughter LLC, a Nebraska limited liability company, and Whiskey Farms LLC, a Nebraska limited liability company, in the amount of $43,060 for an area containing 8.36 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, R616 levee improvement project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel.
I so move.
Knowledge from the public. Staff, director. Roll call.
Leahy?
Yes.
Easter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley? John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Arnold?
No.
Yeah?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
Rita F. Pearlbutt, Revocable Trust, dated September 27, 2004, R-616, Track 3. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with Rita F. Pearlbutt Revocable Trust, dated September 27, 2004, in the amount of $62,600 for an area containing 5.607 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, R616 levee improvement project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal.
I so move.
Comments from the public? Staff, directors, roll call.
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Turnwell?
No.
Yeah?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes.
Wendell Properties, LLC, R-616, Tracks 4 and 5. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with Wendell Properties, LLC, a Nebraska Limited Liability Company, in the amount of $80,000 for an area containing 7.11 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, R616 levee improvement project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager, and approval as to form by district legal.
I so move.
Any comments on public? Staff, directors, roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Turnwell?
No.
Yeah?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Easter?
Yes.
Yes.
DCR Properties Limited Partnership, R-616, Track 6 and 7. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with DCR Properties Limited Partnership, Nebraska Limited Partnership, in the amount of $34,000 for an area containing 3.192 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, 616 levee improvement project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel.
I so move.
Comments on public? Staff, director, roll call.
Fred Conley? John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Turnwell?
No.
Yeah?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Easter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Yes.
Jason Hagen, R-616, Track 8. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with Jason Hagen in the amount of $24,000 for an area containing 2.024 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, R616 levee improvement project, subject to the changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel.
I so move.
Comments from the public? Staff, directors, roll call.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Turnbull?
No.
Yeah?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Easter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Yes.
Paddington Wilson, LLC, R-616, Track 9. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a permanent easement purchase agreement with Paddington Wilson, LLC, a Nebraska Limited Liability Company, in the amount of $15,720 for an area containing 1.309 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, R616 levee improvement project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel.
I so move.
Comments from public? Yeah. Director, roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Turnwell?
No.
Yeah?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Easter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Yes.
Dow Grain Company, Inc. and all, R-616, Track 35. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with Dow Grain Company, Incorporated, et al. In the amount of $41,000 for an area containing 0.833 acres of land for the Missouri River R613, R616 levee improvement project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager, and approval as to form by district legal counsel.
I so move.
Comments from the public. Staff.
I had one question on this.
Yes,
what is so special about this little piece that it's bringing that much more than it?
The the appraiser determined it to be developed land rather than agriculture.
Just by location or?
In the infrastructure.
Elevation of the property? Or
no, the infrastructure in the property. It had been developed.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Turnbull?
No.
Jack?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Casey?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chris Conley?
Aye.
Yes.
Albert?
Yes.
Yes.
Condemnation filings for the Missouri River R613-R616 levee improvement project. Recommendation that the board authorize district legal counsel to initiate the filing of a petition in the county court of Sarpy County, Nebraska, on behalf of the district, pursuant to the procedures governing eminent domain provided by Nebraska Revised Statute Section 76-701 at sequence for the appointment of appraisers to ascertain and determine the damages that will be sustained by the following landowners: PCS Nitrogen Fertilizer LP/Nutrien Limited, R-613 Tract 6 and 7, PCS Nitrogen Fertilizer LP Nutrien Limited, R-613 Tract 8, Horse Creek Farms, R-613 Tract 15, 1904 Farm LLC et al., R-613 Tract 18, 1904 Farm LLC, R-613, Track 19, Pete Ciascio, R-613, Tracks 29 through 30, Eric S. Dawson, R-616, Tracks 13 through 15, from the district's acquisition of the necessary land rights for the Missouri River R-613, R-616 levee improvement projects, and that the following resolutions be adopted. There lengthy amount of resolutions.
The resolutions will be placed on the screen, and I so move.
Any comments from the public? Any additional comments from staff and directors?
Thank you, sir. I have consistently voted no on all these projects. I don't have to believe this is a good spending of money. We're in a nation that's $22 trillion in debt. We're in a state that's bleeding monies, $178 million and growing, last count. I don't think this was properly budgeted. So that is, I'm just informing everybody why I have been consistently voting. So that's all I have.
Any other comments? Roll call.
Yeah.
No.
Bruce?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Craig Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Kimball?
No.
Dan Sherper?
Yes. Motion passes 8-2.
Item number 3, expense claim reimbursement for Director Runwald. No action was taken by the subcommittee. That concludes my report.
Excuse me, sir. I would like to speak to the item.
You'd like to speak to the item?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Huh?
Yes. It's on the agenda.
Can you keep it
short? I'll keep it short, sir.
Proceed.
If you'd be kind enough to help out here. Please pass. Excuse me, you're going to need more. There are issues with the NRD staff not following its policy and procedures. So I want to express my appreciation to U.S. Senator Ben Sasse's office in getting the IRS to provide me a concurring ruling that I need not sign federal forms W-4 or W-2 reporting purposes. The IRS is a tax agency, and they interpret their rules, not others. The IRS determines what is or is not income, the proper use of federal forms, and who needs to sign what document. It's not the state, not a Social Security administrator, not CPAs, not NRD CPAs, not an NRD chairman, not other NRD board members, not the general manager, nor the legal counsel. In the 5-8-17 appendix email from General Manager Winkler, the board legal counsel said, and I quote, in addition, the district policy on withholding has been drafted to comply with IRS rules and regulations. It seems like they asked everybody except the IRS when making their vacuous, hearsay, cut and paste legal opinion. Hard to believe this entity paid for this information. Seems incredibly competent. clearly the IRS, not Social Security, has say. In the IRS ruling, it says, for FICA purposes, an individual is an employee if, under common law rules applicable in determining the employer-employee relationship, the individual has the status of an employee. Code section 3121D2, generally this relationship exists when the person for whom the services are performed has the right to control and direct the individual who performs the service. By state statute, I am not an employee of the NRD. The NRD staff or fellow directors cannot discipline me nor fire me. I am an elected official. Therefore, I should not receive a W-2 wage from this NRD. I am eligible to receive the only reimbursement for expenses for state statute 2-3218. I have followed board policy by providing direct deposit information, which is the only thing required of me. There is no other requirement in policy for me to sign any further documentation for me to receive my reimbursement payments. Changing policies and procedures will not invalidate IRS regulations. By not reimbursing my legitimate expenses, board inactions are causing errors everywhere. These errors are violations of state and federal codes. That is why this must be discussed at an open board meeting. All board members do not attend subcommittees. Board members need to be aware of this situation in a public setting. A chairman saying that's the way it is and ignoring being informed of illegal board activities is concerning. Adhering to policies and procedures is about reducing ambiguity and increasing accountability. Otherwise, this NRD could be considered a rogue agency that answers to no one. If the chairman continues this biased path, he needs to step down and have the vice chairman take over for the remainder of his term. I am providing everybody a copy of these comments, and I turn it back over to you, sir.
All right. Item 11, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Treasurer's Report consists of item 11A through 11J and two resolutions, and I move their inclusion.
Comments from the public? Staff? Directors? Roll call on the motion.
Yes.
Lakey?
Yes.
Easter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Frank Conway?
Aye.
Don Conway?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Cornwall?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes. Item 12, take to the table consideration amendments to district policy proposed for directors meeting on November 8, 2018. So move it takes off the table. For a second.
Second.
Is it in the attachment here somewhere?
Naming policy.
Huh?
The naming policy.
Yeah. This is the naming policy, which, as we approved earlier, certain policies or certain changes to our policy gets laid over for 30 days. That happened in November, so now we're December to finally approve the naming policy that we have for our areas, recreation and dams, and so on. Any comments from the public on this naming policy in the sections 16.9 and 9.3? Any comments from staff? Directors? Roll call.
Lakey?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Bryce Conley?
Aye.
Ben Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Grinwell?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Easter?
Yes.
Yes. Very good. Item 13. Item A. Special presentation. This is special. Every couple of years we go through a such special presentation. And I was going to go alphabetically according to first name, but, Jim. Gene typed it up, so, we're going to go to Director John Conley for his special presentation. John, you decided to step down, go back and relax, and would you introduce then the audience who might be here in this special day for you?
I would. I was surprised they're here. It's my wife, Peg, and my youngest son, Bill, in the front row.
All right. John Conley came on the board January 14, 1999.
That's a couple of decades ago.
Some of these people weren't born.
And some had hair. Anyway, John, let me take this opportunity to express my appreciation for your 20 years of service for the district. As I think you're the only treasurer that we've had in those 20 years, right?
Well, I started about a year and a half after I came on the board.
Okay. Well, that revises my number a little bit. But certainly as treasurer, John, we have a policy. We have two signatures on all the checks that we write. John, in his 18 and a half years, do you realize you wrote almost $400 million in checks?
Just this year.
That's a lot of money you spent on behalf of the district and whatever. I mean, that encompasses a lot of things we've done in 20 years. So thank you for that little bit of detail on your signature. And you're going to have to massage his hand after 19 and a half, 18 and a half years of writing his name. And now just write checks to wherever you're going to retire to or whatever. That's probably direct deposit as well. I have a little gift here for you on behalf of the district. And thank you very much for serving.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Thank you. Let's go up in front.
Yeah, let's go
up
in front. Still refer to a senior member Conley because Fred now takes over the senior role.
He's got a ways to go, though.
Yeah, he's the next oldest. David, that's in there. 2000, one of my notes here. 2007.
Yes.
14 years.
16 years for me.
Huh? Well, okay, 12.
Yeah, that's good, man.
How do you remain so young with all that years of the NRV board? But you don't do thank you. As some of you know, most of you know, David's decided not to run for the NRV board again and then ran for Sarpy County Commissioner. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So we'll still hear David's name and work closely with the Sarpy County Board as we always have. I think. We'll have a little in now, perhaps.
Absolutely.
You know exactly what to vote on when those issues come up. Dave was chairman for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Pounded the gavel about 100 times. And it may not seem as much as $400 million worth of checks that John Conley did, but those poundings, those were significant as chairman. They really were. I mean, I give you the gavel, but I have to use it. Appreciate that. So thank you on behalf of the NRV board, and we certainly appreciate your years of service on our board and all that you've done to for the betterment of the entire district. And that's been, it's been, hates you go, but on the other hand, you've got other things to move on to and look forward to seeing your actions on that. Well, here's a little gift. It's not a plot.
All right. So.
John Conley was talking about. It's just, it has been an absolute pleasure being able to serve and work with the people in this room over the last 12 years. The learning opportunities and the way that working with you and how I've grown that time, it definitely would not have happened without the people in this room and the respect that we've always been given from the very, very professional staff. It was kind of a tough choice to not run again. This is a wonderful organization. Definitely have always been extremely proud to say that I was played a little role on it. And I will continue to do that and be able to support you guys in the future. The second Tuesdays and Thursdays every month, you will be met. So thank you guys.
I stay up here because that's the service awards.
Congratulations.
All right. We sit up here and we direct and we pound the gavels and we sign checks because we nod our head. We hopefully this way, sometimes that way, and that's what happens. This is about the time of year we do every year because the folks who do the work for us to make these decisions, you know, it's part of the staff. We could not do it, obviously. So on. So these people have been around for a long time, and I don't want to add up the years because, well, I just won't. Anyway, there's some folks who've been around a while. The first one we reward is Zach Nelson to his 5 years of service. Zach. Of the good work. Second on the list, Bill Brush. Well, silent Bill in the corner, but thank you much for what you do for the IT portion. Appreciate that very much. And who else is here? Fry. We got to talk about her again. For your dedicated service and Lance Ulrich, 15 years of service. Lance works. He works out of northern part of the. And Ryan Trapp. Ryan, we don't see you much because we don't, you know, need to come to the meeting. But 20 years come back, as long as I've been around. So thank you again for your service. All right. Do I have to say the name?
No, 25 years.
You were like young and you're so young. Marty is
careful.
30 years, thank you very much. And Teresa Murphy?
Not here.
Not here. Teresa, 30 years of service. Kelly Gravel, she's not here.
Not here.
And I, 30 years, every time I've gone up to South Sioux City and seen Kelly, I mean, she's like Jean, she's a native out there. 30 years is tremendous.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. John?
No, he's not here.
John is 35 years. My goodness. This right, it's not a title. Bill Warren. 40 years. Well, congratulations.
21.
You were. You were. Maybe 20 years.
Another 40.
Martin.
Did you guys start on the same day?
It's about 10 months.
This is one of those that when I said we can't do it without you, his knowledge is technical. He knows every creek and not only the names, but how deep they are and why they are. So thank you, Martin, for your years of service. General Manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached for review is the written report for the manager's report. I won't go in there. You guys can all read that. I did want to again thank Director Conley and Director Klug for obviously their service and many years of spending time serving obviously the people that we serve and trying to obviously protect public safety and all those things. And so I wish them the best of luck and when their next endeavors or whichever they decide to do. I really appreciated their support when the years that I've been here that they've also been and their mentorship. And so it really means a lot to me. So thank you, gentlemen, for that. I'd also like to congratulate those employees that were recognized this evening. I know I'm getting older because I've hired a lot of you. And when I first started, most of you obviously were already here. So I'm starting to get worried. I'm becoming one of the old managers there. I was one of the new ones. So obviously I'd like to thank all the employees and the directors. I've looked back. This year has been exceptional. I just looked at a lot of the ribbon cuttings that we had on Dam Site 15, which is Flanagan Lake, the West Papio Trail. We started WP 6 and 7. We started Zrinski Basin 2 projects. We've also, the number of studies we have going, not only the Papillion Creek watershed, but also the stream degradation study with the Corps. And then also a lot of things that we've done, implemented a groundwater management plan. And then we also now we've got the permit for the Missouri River levees and the starting the land acquisition for those. And I don't think people realize the importance of that project. And I think as when that project's built, and as time goes on, the people that were involved in that at the federal level, at the state level, I think that will come out more as what really that meant to the entire state of Nebraska. Because of the conversation, I can say the conversations that I had, and that levy was going to lead to the relocation of the 55th wing if that levy wasn't going to be guaranteed to be brought to certification standards. There was no question about it. And so I applaud the staff for continuing to stay on that project with the Corps and getting the permit and all that. And I think when the history is written on that project, that will be one of the defining moments of that base and how it's going to get expanded missions. And it's going to keep pumping $1.3 billion and more into the state's economy. And so it can't be overstated enough what that project means, and we will get it done. There's no question about it. So also just some of the 60% design and all those things that we've done with the reservoirs. And I know that each of you, the employees, how dedicated everybody is, and we miss a lot of events. And I remember I just talked to Terry Tuesday night. My daughter, had a basketball game, but we had subcommittee meetings. And so, but it's just not me. I mean, we miss a lot. We miss a lot of plays. We miss a lot of other things that is going on with our families because we have a job to do and we do it. And no one complains about it. No staff is ever going to say, "Oh, I miss this. I miss that." They know what they have to do and they do it. And so, we don't have a very wide range of options to reward employees. We're limited by state statute. We're limited by public perception. And I've said it once, I've said it a million times, I would pay you guys everything you wanted because this is the best team I've ever worked with, no question about it. And so in doing that, one of the agenda items one of the action items we have in the GM report is to reward those employees for not only their professionalism and dedication over the many years that they've been here, but really we did have a year that was extremely exceptional. And I would like it with the board's permission
to make the day before Christmas, which is Christmas Eve Day, and the day before New Year's, which is New Year's Eve Day, I would like to the board would agree to give those days off to the employees to spend time with their family and their loved ones as a reward for a job well done, and to try to make up a little bit of the time that the district does take away from them. And so if anybody would like to do that, we would very much appreciate it. I know the employees would appreciate it as well.
So moved. Right.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to allow the two holidays mentioned by Director, General Manager Winkler. Any comments from the public? Staff, anyone not want to have those days off? Directors, any comments?
Well deserved,
and certainly as a former federal employee, the president used to give these days off. I'm not going to guess what's going to happen this year, but I certainly concur. And roll call on the motion.
Easter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Ben Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Grinwald?
Decide if I want to be a Grinch. The answer is yes.
Of course. Oh. Grinch?
Yeah. Grinch. Is there a Grinch category?
Jeff?
Yes.
Boone?
Yes.
Blakey?
Yes.
Sister?
Yes.
Well, and thank you. We very much appreciate that. And we appreciate, obviously, the things that we do here. I had one other note. Director Bradley, congratulations. He is a grandfather. His daughter gave birth to a baby boy. And so we'd like to wish him good luck. And then Director Fowler has a little presentation just real quick. And then don't forget, after the meeting, there will be snacks and refreshments in the lobby.
I'll keep it short. I've been dying to do this for quite a while, actually. As some of you know, I work out off at Air Force Base as a science and technology advisor. And in my travels, I see a lot of innovation out there. And one was really unique a few months back. It struck me sideways because it hit on my urban ag kind of light bulb went off, and I was like, I need to bring this back and show everybody. So I brought some Christmas gifts for everybody, and it's really kind of cool because the gist was they wanted to get a really packed protein for our warfighters in the field that's truly organic, and in turn, it also creates a marketplace where the farmer can have another product out there and grow this and kind of as he's doing something else, but also in the urban environment. So what I have here, the company's called Bug Eater Foods, and it truly is Bug Eater Foods. I have crickets, cricket rice, as a gift for everybody in that community to try it out. Is it? And I did try it, and if you put some chicken broth in this, it's kind of good. So I dare everybody to try it.
Why would you do this
to me? And I know that some people are getting squeamish now.
I know a lot about
that.
I'm
much protein in the
Well, you signed it? No. I was going to give you mine.
Oh, I know our sheriff needs it. Lots of protein there. So enjoy. Merry Christmas to everybody. And Bill and I did Boy Scouts together. I know he's a definitely one. Thank you. It's funny. I have a little laugh there.
Who's paying attention?
It tastes like chicken if you want to.
That concludes my report.
Hey, I don't know how we can top that. Item 15, informational items. Please note the changes as the calendar year converts over. We have some meetings with two new elected board members, Tim McCormick and
Kevin Sapinski.
As we always do when there's members going off and members being added, I will go through the subcommittees and reassign and reestablish subcommittees for approval in January. Next meeting, January 10th, here at, that seems early, but January 10th at the NRC. Personally, I want to wish everyone a Merry, Merry Christmas. And an upcoming new year and your resolutions, I hope all are positive and can be fulfilled. Christmas is a good time to reflect
good time to be with family and hopefully have the joy of the season and why we meet. And I think allowing the extra day off will allow that to get together with your loved ones and family. And if they're coming in town or you're going out of town, I wish you safe travels and wish your family safe travels to embrace this season. And we'll get back to business come January. With that, we are adjourned.